Our scripture this morning is taken from John chapter 9, verses 1 to 7, 14 through 16, and verses 35 through 41. As he passed by, he saw a man blind from birth, and his disciples asked him, "Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind?" Jesus answered, "It was not that this man sinned or his parents, but that the works of God might be displayed in him. We must work the works of him who sent me while it is day. Night is coming when no man can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world." Having said these things, he spit on the ground and made mud with the saliva. Then he anointed the man's eyes with the mud and said to him, "Go, wash in the pool of Siloam," which means sent. So he went and washed and came back seeing. Now it was a Sabbath day when Jesus made the mud and opened his eyes. So the Pharisees again asked him how he had received his sight. And he said to them, "He put mud on my eyes and I washed and I see." Some of the Pharisees said, "This man is not from God, for he does not keep the Sabbath." But others said, "How can a man who is a sinner do such signs?" And there was division among them. Jesus heard that they had cast him out, and having found him, they said, "Do you believe in the Son of Man?" He answered, "And who is he, sir, that I may believe in him?" Jesus said to him, "You have seen him, and it is he who is speaking to you." He said, "Lord, I believe," and he worshipped him. Jesus said, "For judgment I came into this world, that those who do not see me may see, and those who may become blind." Some of the Pharisees near him heard these things and said to him, Are we also blind?" Jesus said to them, "If you were blind, you would have no guilt. But now that you say, 'We see,' your guilt remains."
Thanks, Heather. Here we are, 8 weeks into the Gospel of John. I've been enjoying it so far because John, I feel, sets this up so well for us. A guy who was a close friend of Jesus, sharing with us his experiences with the man he believed to be the Son of God, to be God himself, the Messiah. And we've been learning a lot kind of through our weeks. I remember in our first week, we talked about how God, the eternal Son, came down in flesh and blood and dwelt with us. He understands our circumstances. In our second week, in John 2, we saw Jesus gradually beginning to reveal who he is through his private sign that he did at the wedding of Cana, where he turned water into wine, and then a bit more publicly at the temple as he cleaned it out. We saw his conversation in John 3 with Nicodemus, who confronts Jesus and asks him about who he is, and Jesus says, "Listen, you need to be born again. You need to have new life in order to understand what's going on." In John 4, we saw Jesus show us how the gospel speaks into how we handle race and prejudice, that he speaks into that situation by being an initiator in a conversation with a Samaritan woman. In chapter 5, we see that the greatest obstacle to us achieving the fullness of life is sin, even though there are other smaller obstacles in the way that we need Jesus to handle the sin problem first and foremost. In John 6, we saw that we need to follow Jesus for Jesus and not just the benefits he can provide, not just the bread that he miraculously makes appear to those who followed him. And last week, as Jesus was at the Feast of Booths, we saw that Jesus is revealing who he is, that he is not just a Messiah, not just someone come to meet our needs, but in fact, God himself. This week, in the story that Heather read, we see Jesus heal a man who was born blind. And it's a beautiful miracle. It's one of those ones where I look at and I'm like, I love how he does it. Like, he comes up to this guy, he answers his disciples and shows them how their thinking is wrong. He goes, he spits on the ground, he makes mud. Like, that is like a miracle that kids can get a hold of, like playing in the mud. Jesus makes mud and spreads it on this guy's face. Like, it's just one of those cool miracles. And the fact that this guy is able to see after not being able to see his entire life is amazing to me. There are videos that are going around the internet right now of this technology that is enabling people who have visual impairments to actually see much more clearly. Haley and I saw a video a few weeks ago of this girl who has been visually impaired for much of her life and can only see kind of shapes and shadows. But there's this technology that's like almost like a camera she puts up in front of her eyes, and it captures what's going on, and then it interprets it in a way that her eyes would be able to see it. And she was able to see the face of her family members in a way she was never able to see before. And the reactions are priceless. They're emotional. Like, this is her husband who she married and never really saw the fullness of what he looks like. And now she can see his face. These are her family members and her kids that she can now see their face and know them all the more. It's a beautiful thing. And we see Jesus do that with this man here. It's one of those great moments, but like many of the miracles, the signs that we see John write about in this gospel, Jesus is not just pointing to the sign itself, right? That as he performs these miracles, yes, he changes this guy's life, but he's pointing to a greater truth in performing these signs. Yes, he addresses this man's blindness. But I would argue that this isn't the only blind one in this chapter. That Jesus isn't just concerned with this man's blindness. To Jesus, the Pharisees are just as blind as this man was that he healed. See, Jesus didn't come to just address and heal this man's physical blindness. But he came to show us the spiritual blindness that exists as well. Spiritual blindness, that kind of sounds like a weird term. We don't use it very often. But it's kind of a theme that we see, an analogy that is used about how we're not able to relate to God well. Spiritual blindness means the inability to see the work of God, to believe the truths about God. When you're spiritually blind, you're not going to be on the same page as God is. You're going to be like numb to what he's saying or doing. You're not going to be on board with what he wants you to do. In fact, when you're spiritually blind, you're going to be skeptical. You're going to be cynical about the things that people say about God. In fact, you're probably going to be opposed to what God is up to. And John, as he writes this chapter, I love it. John's such a great writer. Even people who aren't Christians who study literary works love the way John writes, because he sets up this beautiful contrast where he compares a man who was born blind, Jesus heals him, and all of a sudden he's able to really grasp who Jesus is. He believes in Jesus as the Son of Man. He contrasts that with these Pharisees who were supposed to be able to see. They were in the scriptures their whole lives. They studied and were supposedly devoted to God. Their eyes were open, kind of. But when faced with Jesus, they're blinded to who he is. Jesus sums this up nicely in verse 39, which Heather read. I have it up on the screen. Jesus said, "For judgment I came into this world, that those who do not see may see, and those who see may become blind." Now, when they heard this, the Pharisees probably thought of words that Isaiah wrote, where Jesus actually quoted in the Gospel of Luke. Jesus comes into the synagogue and he's the guy on the schedule to read scripture, kind of like Heather did just for us now. And he opens up the scroll of Isaiah and he's just supposed to read it. So he reads from Isaiah. He says, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim liberty to the captives, the recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." The thing is, Jesus didn't just read this. He followed it up and said, "Today these words are fulfilled in your hearing. Today what I just read is happening because of me." See, these words were expectations of what the Messiah would do. And so the Pharisees, they hear Jesus say, "Oh, I've come so that the blind might see." They think, "Oh, okay, he's quoting this Messiah language." So the Pharisees are saying, "Oh, you're saying that we're blind and you've come to open our eyes. We're on that side of things." One of the Pharisees, it says, speaks up and says, "Oh, so we're blind and you've come to open our eyes." But Jesus says, "No, you should be able to see. You've blinded yourselves. You guys are the one who see, but because of me, you've become blind." Now, we need to remember this story, this miracle that Jesus does, this interaction with the Pharisees, this is right on the heels of the Feast of Booths that we talked about last week. A feast where Jesus comes into Jerusalem and the tensions were high. People knew that he was someone, that there were a lot of rumors spreading about him. They had different ideas of who he is. And they were waiting for Jesus to show up and say something about who he was. Was he the Messiah? Was he a prophet? Was he just some guy who was running a scam? And Jesus comes into that situation and he says many things about who he is. Yes, he's the Messiah, but he says to the Pharisees, identifying himself with God himself before Abraham was, "I am." And they pick up stones as if they're going to kill him there in the streets. Right on the heels of that, this event happens where Jesus confronts the Pharisees about their blindness. He says, "You're blind to who I'm telling you that I am. I just gave you plenty of examples of who I am, and you're trying to kill me. When this man was healed, you didn't believe him." We read the story of what happened, and this guy who has this life-changing miracle happened to him, the Pharisees don't believe him. They in fact, bring in his parents, and they put them on the witness stand to ask if this guy was really born blind. Like, as if he's running a scam. As if he's trying to trick the Pharisees. Like, "No man from God could have done this if it was done on a Saturday." They see a man who is healed from his blindness and they don't believe him. Really, the question is, do these guys recognize truth when they see it? Are they just blind? Jesus is really leaning into these guys, really leaning into the Pharisees. And sometimes we feel bad, like Jesus is always picking on the Pharisees. They're like the guys that we love to hate in the Bible. We give them a really hard time. But why is Jesus pressing into them so hard? It's because these guys were supposed to be the ones teaching and leading Israel to serve God with their lives. These were the ones who were out in public showing people, setting the tone for the spiritual atmosphere of the Jews. These were the ones who were mentoring and teaching and telling people what was right and what was wrong. And if they're this off base, imagine what they're teaching. Imagine those who are sitting under their teaching and learning. That if there's sickness in the one who is teaching, then it's going to breed sickness in those who are listening. Jesus confronts these guys because they are the blind leading the blind. Here's the thing, though. Is this kind of spiritual blindness that we see in the Pharisees? It is not just a first century religious group that was spiritually blind. It is so easy for our eyes to be just as blind as the Pharisees, for us to be blinded in ways that we don't realize. But here's the thing is this spiritual blindness that we're talking about, it's a symptom of a bigger issue. Have you ever gone to the doctors with like a sore throat or like pain somewhere, and they just go and they treat the sore throat and pain without realizing that those are symptoms of something else that's going on in your body. And then you just, you know, you go home with your anti-inflammatories or whatever, your pain meds, and you deal with the symptoms, but it doesn't get at the root issue. This spiritual blindness is a symptom of some deeper issues in our lives, some deeper heart issues. I got four of them today that I want to look at, and then I'll be out of your way, all right? The first big heart issue that leads to spiritual blindness is pride. It's pride. Psalm 10:4, I love this. David says, "In the pride of his face, the wicked does not seek God. All his thoughts are, there is no God." When we are too proud to admit we're wrong, when we are too proud to open our minds to what other people are saying, when we are too proud, it distorts the truth. We see this all the time right now. They say 2016 was the year of false news. Was the year of incredible news sources. That people who think one way, they just go to all these news sources to read things that people write that already agree with them. And people on this side of things, they read their news sources of people that just agree with them. And there's no really intelligible conversation or discourse between the two sides. That it's just yelling at each other because they already agree with themselves and they already agree with themselves. And when we're too proud to actually humble ourselves and listen to what other people who disagree with us are saying, then we're just kind of ingrown in our own side of things and not having the humility to see what truth is. Rather, we just hold up our banner or our side of things. When we're proud, we think we're smarter than the other side. We think we're smarter than other people, that we're the ones that know it all. In fact, often it leads us to think we're too smart for God. Who's God to tell me how to spend my money? Who's God to tell me how to live this area of my life? When we're too proud, like the Pharisees, we can't celebrate with those who are celebrating. Have you ever been in that place where like someone is going through something fantastic, like they just got a promotion or a new car or something like that, and instead of like celebrating with them and being happy with them, we're over in the corner grumbling like they didn't deserve that. Like we just have this poor attitude about it in our pride. Obadiah, as he was a prophet to the nation, said, "The pride of your heart has deceived you." When we are proud, we're blinded to what God might be telling us. When we are proud, we're not listening. And that leads to our spiritual blindness. The second root issue that leads to spiritual blindness in our lives is living in sin. The disciples in this story, they asked Jesus, "Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind?" Now, that's kind of some misunderstood theology there of like, this guy could only be blind because someone sinned. But when it comes to spiritual blindness, our sin can actually lead to us becoming spiritually blind. Jesus, in the last chapter at the Feast of Booths, he said, "Truly, truly, I say to you, everyone who practices sin is a slave to sin." When we are continuously sinning, I know no one's perfect. I know we sin. But when we get ourselves into habits of sin, where we're justifying our sin and trying to say it's okay, when we have those sinful habits, it dulls our spiritual sensitivity. Jesus says that as we sin, we become slaves to that sin. Whether that's when we're continuously lying, whether that's an addiction to pornography, whether that is just always having an attitude towards people where you don't listen, where it's always about you. As we continue and justify those attitudes, those practices, those sins, it sears our conscience. It makes it hard for us to even hear God. Even if you're a Christian and you are stuck in a pattern of sin, it is hard to hear God. We look at history so often and we say, how could people allow such things to happen? Like we look at the Holocaust, we look at slavery, and we think, how did like people of faith, how did people with a conscience allow for these things to happen? A continual justification and pattern habits of sin more and more sears our consciences so that we are not seeing what God is saying into those situations. With the Holocaust and slavery, you sideline members of society. When you sideline members of society, you can quickly say, oh, they're beneath us. They're lower than us. And then when you say they're lower than us, you can progress from there to say, well, they're subhuman. They don't have the value that we have. When they don't have the value, they become a pest. And when they're a pest, then you have to find a way to deal with them, whether that's enslavement or exile or eradicating them. That as we continue down this progression and justify our sin, our consciences are seared and we don't really see what God is saying into these situations. Paul writes to Timothy in 1 Timothy 4, he says, there are false teachers who have taught so much this like false gospel for their own gain that they don't even care anymore. They don't even realize that they're doing wrong anymore because their consciences are singed. They're seared and they don't feel any conviction anymore. The third heart issue that leads to spiritual blindness is when we focus on distractions. We hear so often of stories of people who they go overseas on a missions trip or missionaries in Africa or different places where, you know, they say, oh, like we saw so-and-so delivered from like demonic oppression, like weird supernatural stuff where there's spiritual warfare taking place in a really tangible visual way. And we often ask those questions like, why don't we see that more often? Why isn't that like something that we see? I would argue that Satan doesn't have to use those tactics with us. That Satan already has us distracted enough by the things going on around us that he doesn't have to pull our attention away from God in those kind of ways. As long as our eyes are off Jesus, focused on something else in life, he doesn't have to worry about us. Even the good things in life can become distractions. That yes, having a great job is important. Yes, having a good, tidy house is awesome. Yes, having a great, obedient family is awesome. But when those things become our priority, when those become where we set our gaze instead of on Jesus, Satan doesn't have to worry about us. We're no threat to him when we're not focused on Jesus. And when our eyes aren't focused on Jesus, we're not seeing what he is doing. When we get preoccupied with money and entertainment and keeping up with the latest celebrity gossip more than we're focusing on Christ, then we're choosing. In Matthew 6, Jesus says, no one can serve two masters, for either he will hate one and love the other, or he will be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money. And I would argue you can put a lot of things in that blank where money is. The last heart issue that I want to talk about this morning that leads to spiritual blindness in our lives is ignorance. Just meaning being unaware. Sometimes we just don't know. Sometimes we have been the recipients of bad teaching. Sometimes we've been convinced of theologies that are setting limits on how we believe God works. That what we believe God can do, say, or be. The disciples, they had this misunderstanding. Who sinned that this man was born blind? Because of what they'd been taught. Isn't any time someone is preaching to you and they're just trying to get at your wallet, run the other direction. Because that is not teaching that is going to lead you closer to Christ. If someone is teaching you and just building up like a personality cult where it's just about them and what they do and about their kingdom rather than the kingdom of God, run the other way, because that kind of teaching can lead you to a place of ignorance where it's not about Jesus. We need to be careful of what we're taking in, of what we're listening to, especially when it comes to spiritual teaching. Often we think, well, if it's a Christian pastor on TV, then we should eat up everything he says. Unfortunately, there are a lot of people who teach what is not God's word. And that can lead us to be in a place of ignorance where we just aren't thinking that God works this way. That God is involved this way. And so we blind our eyes to what God might be doing. Now, this is like the discouraging part of the sermon. Like four big things that can ruin your life by taking your eyes off Jesus. Here's the good news, is that Jesus can help that. Just like he healed this man who was born blind, like he was that way his whole life, he can heal us. He can open our eyes who have probably dealt with a lot of these things our whole life. Like, you're probably not like, oh, I'm number one, but not two, three, or four, or I'm number two, but not one, three, four. Like, we probably have a combination of all four of these things that are at work in our lives that we need to overcome. But Jesus is the one who can do that. If we want to overcome spiritual blindness, if we want to see what God is doing, if we want the truest glimpse of God, we can't do it alone. We need Jesus. We need him to open our eyes. In his conversation with Nicodemus in John 3, he says, unless you're born again, you can't see the kingdom of God. You won't be able to see what God is up to. Without Jesus, we have no hope of our eyes being opened. In fact, our hearts right now, because of sin, are hardwired to be blind. But Jesus can be the light into the darkness, like John says over and over and over. He can bring sight to blind eyes. If it's pride that is causing spiritual blindness in us, he can do works of grace to humble us before God and to open us up to what God is doing. If it's sin, he can draw us to repentance and to throw ourselves on his grace and embrace that. If it's distractions of the things around us in the world, that then the Holy Spirit can develop in us a heart that is set on Christ. He can give us disciplines and habits that help us to see Christ. If it's ignorance, then God can show us his truth in Scripture. That as we learn from him, as we pray to him, as we sit under good teaching, he can show us what is true. We each probably struggle with some of this. But the good news is Jesus opens blind eyes. Haley read a passage to open the service where Paul writes that even now, we can only see a dim glimpse of what the perfect sight we'll have in heaven will be like. That right now on this earth, because the earth is tainted with sin, we can only see through like a dirty window. Where we can see there's something on the other side, but it's not HD. But one day once sin is eradicated, one day in the presence of our God, we will be able to see clearly. It won't just be HD, it'll be 4K or whatever the like next one after that is going to be. That we will be able to see God clearly. That there will be no spiritual blindness in us because there will be no sin ruining our hearts. That is the hope we have in Christ. That is the beauty of the gospel, that Christ has come to do this work in us. This morning, to kind of end our time, what I'd love to do is for us to take some time to reflect, to take some time to prayerfully consider, are there areas in my life that are causing me to be spiritually blind? And for us to take some time individually to call on Jesus to open our eyes. Haley and I, we're going to lead in a song, but it's not going to be the lyrics that are up on the screen. We'll have some questions up there that are just meant to be prompts, some prayer prompts for you. That in the next little while, you can spend some time in reflection, in praying, in asking Jesus to open your eyes, that by his grace we might be able to see more clearly, because that's what he's about. Let's pray. Jesus, I thank you that you are about opening our eyes, that like you said, you have come to open blind eyes. And Lord, I pray that you would show us where we're blind. Show us where sin is affecting our sight of you, where we might be distracted or in sin or ignorant or just too proud. Lord, I pray that you would break through that sin, that you would humble us and show us how we might regain our sight in you, all for your glory. Amen.